The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The call to conversion is always there. The question is, how are we responding to the invitation? Today, I want to look at the practical application of prayer in our lives, but I want to do it in the wider context of holiness. How do we grow in holiness? Step number one, let's get ourselves in a state of grace. If you have serious sin in your life, go to the sacrament of penance and confess that sin. That sanctifying grace that was infused in us at the time of our baptism is restored through the sacrament of penance. So we get ourselves in a state of grace. Second of all, eliminate sin and vice in our lives. I think sometimes as creatures of habit, we can get comfortable with certain sins in our life. Holiness demands that sin not be part of our life. Thirdly, it's not just enough to eliminate sin. We're called to grow in virtue. Develop virtue. Grow in virtue. If you looked at your life at this moment and compare it to 5 years ago, can you see that you are a more virtuous person now than you were then? My dear people, then we talk about prayer as part of that whole concept of cooperating with God's grace, eliminating sin in our life, growing in virtue. And prayer needs constancy and consistency in our lives. If we're only praying when it's convenient, it won't be long and we're not praying at all. There is enough noise in the world to drown out that whisper calling us to prayer. I heard a talk on the Hallow app about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Leah Darrow did a 7-day talk on routines. And she talked about divine rhythms. Do we have divine rhythms in our life? I look back at my childhood. Now, I would have never known to call it a divine rhythm at the time. But when I look at the household that I grew up in, the Catholic grade school that I went to from grades 1 to 8 with the Sisters of St. Francis from Oldenburg, Indiana, I learned divine rhythms. I think about my day as a child. We prayed before we ate breakfast. When we got to school, we prayed the morning offering as soon as the bell rang. We then went to daily Mass, and at that time we went to Mass 5 days a week. When lunchtime came, we prayed the Angelus. At the end of the school day, we prayed various prayers at the end of the day. When I got home, we would have our evening meal together. We prayed before we ate. We prayed after the meal. We prayed before bedtime. I didn't know it, but I was being taught divine rhythms. If you have ever had the privilege of visiting the Abbey of St. Walburga just up the highway from us, you see the sisters living divine rhythm in a very regimented way. They work, but when it's time to pray, and they come together. Now, it may look a little bit different for those of us in the secular world, but we're still called to enter deeper into this relationship with Jesus by a life of prayer. Do you have habits that help you turn toward God throughout the whole course of the day? More things I was taught as a child. If an ambulance or a fire truck goes by you with the lights on, do you pray for the people who are in need of their services at that point? When you drive by a hospital, do you pray for the sick and the suffering? When you drive by a Catholic church, do you make some sign or gesture or offer a prayer? It can be as simple as the sign of the cross, but that as you're driving past that Catholic church, you recognize Jesus is present in the tabernacle. If you pass by a cemetery, do you pray for the faithful departed? Something as simple as eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. All of these opportunities throughout the course of the day to be people of prayer. But obviously, we also need that time alone set aside constantly and consistently to where we are totally focused on God in our prayer. If you think about how much time athletes spend in training, whatever sport they're playing, or if they're a weightlifter or whatever, do you think they've reached their level of excellence with 1 hour a week of training? If you had to go into the hospital for surgery, do you want a doctor doing the surgery who's only prepared 1 hour a week? Why then do we shortchange the discipline that's needed for our eternal well-being? I'm concerned sometimes that we're okay with mediocrity in our spiritual journey, and yet we're called to be great saints, and there is joy in being a saint. It's not necessarily easy, but it's filled with joy. And so to put this all into context, be in a state of grace, eliminate sin and vice in your life, grow in virtue, be a person of prayer. Now I've got homework. Father Joe is accustomed to giving you homework. My homework is much more difficult and challenging than what he gives. You aren't going to do mine in 10 or 15 minutes. Homework assignment number one. Study the 9 levels of prayer. If you do an internet search, it'll come up for you. 9 levels of prayer. Unfortunately, I think most of us get stuck around level 3 or 4. Level 9 is transforming union with God, where we are so united that we're transformed into union with God. That's the goal. That's sanctity. But I ask you to study the 9 levels of prayer. Ask the Lord to reveal to you where you need to grow and to give you the strength and the perseverance to carry it out. 9 levels of prayer. Assignment number 2. Study the 64 virtues outlined by St. Thomas Aquinas. Most of us are familiar with the 3 theological virtues when we pray the rosary. Those first 3 Hail Marys, we pray for an increase of the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, or faith, hope, and love, depending upon the terminology you use. Then we have the 4 cardinal virtues, prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. Those 4 cardinal virtues are the hinge, is what St. Thomas says, of the 64 virtues that he delineates. And once again, you can do an internet search. They pop right up, PDF downloadable forms, free of charge. 64 virtues. Why do I ask you to look at those? Because how do we know where we need to grow in virtue if we never take a look at where we are? If we don't know if we're any more virtuous today than we were 5 years ago, maybe it's time we do something very specific and intentional to grow in a virtue. Pick a virtue, work on it for 6 months or a year. If we live long enough, maybe we can get all 64 virtues. The challenge is to accept the call to conversion. That's the invitation. And finally, assignment number 3 is the shortest one. Obviously, the 64 virtues, that's going to be a lifelong assignment. The last one, I invite you to watch a YouTube video, and I'm very hesitant to ever recommend that, but here I am. Father Chad Ripberger, he's an exorcist, and he is a teacher. He speaks at conferences and workshops. I listened to about 5 hours of his teaching this past week. Not only does he take profound teachings of the church and explain them in an understandable way, but he motivates and inspires you to holiness. He has a video out that is, I think it was 57 minutes, just under an hour, and it's entitled Winning in Prayer and Holiness. He covers in 57 minutes what I can't cover in 15 minutes here. Winning in prayer and holiness. You will be blessed with that investment of 1 hour of your time to listen to his teaching. So we bring it all together. Be in a state of grace. Eliminate sin. Grow in virtue. Pray consistently and constantly. The growth in virtue for the homework, the 64 virtues listed by St. Thomas Aquinas. Being a person of prayer, study the 9 levels of prayer. I hope you feel a sense of urgency as you do it as well. And why do I say that? Did you listen to the second reading? Time is running out. The gospel, the kingdom of God is at hand. See, the call to conversion is urgent because we were created out of love and for love. And that is uniting ourselves to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.